of Wilde and Tausch. Without the Tausch, but with Jesse Nelson and Riley Yauch.
And me.
Jesse, we had a lot of things planned for today's show. Instead, we got Chris McIntosh and Brooks Bollinger, which was awesome. If you missed any of those interviews, go back on the ESPN Wisconsin app. You can catch those later. And, of course, wherever you get all your podcasts, etc. But that was great. We're gonna save a few of the things we had planned, and we'll use them on Monday. But you seemed, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, because that's what we do around here.
Well, when one of us is around, we put words in each other's
indeed,
mouth.
And it's not you, and it's not me. You seemed very interested in the Jordan Love first pitch saga.
I did. Yes. So, okay. We haven't talked about this all week long. That first pitch sucked on Monday.
Now, before you go any farther, in fairness to Jordan, for those of you that didn't see it, and I saw a video on social media of it, it was, if you're old enough, I remember, I never actually saw this pitch delivered because the guy who used to throw it was before I was watching or playing baseball, but the Ephus pitch is what it was called. And it was like this high arcing lob of a pitch. There were some contemporary players that would try and incorporate it.
Daisuke from the Red Sox about a decade ago.
Indeed. But that was the comparison that was being made.
Yeah,
because if you were watching the video, the ball actually disappears from the photo, from the video window on your widescreen television because it went so high.
Yeah. Lollipop.
Sewell was the one who brought that into existence in the 1946 All-Star game.
Can't say I'm familiar with Rip's work. Okay, so I am uniquely qualified as someone who has thrown out a ceremonial first pitch to talk about this.
Has Tausch thrown one out? I've thrown one out at the Madison Mallards game.
I believe we have talked about throwing out a ceremonial first pitch before, and I think this show in particular is uniquely qualified. Like, I don't know if Jim, Matt, and Molly in the afternoons can say that everyone on their panel has thrown out a ceremonial first pitch. I'm sure Matt has. I don't know if Jim has. I don't think Molly has. Molly, did you? No, she hasn't. She's shaking her head no.
Do you think we could get the Mallards to have all three of us throw them out simultaneously, and then we could see who throws the best pitch?
Absolutely, I think we could. They do like 20 ceremonial first pitches at Mallards games these days.
So
like,
since they have a low bar, we've got a chance.
You have to ask out of doing a ceremonial first pitch when you go to those Northwoods League games. So here's the trick, and this is what when I threw the ceremonial first pitch, it was at a Peoria Chiefs single-A baseball game in Peoria. I was working for the ESPN Peoria affiliate right after I had graduated
Riley,
yes?
is it on brand that Jesse has taken the story of Jordan Love's first pitch and made it about himself or what?
I would say it is on brand.
Wow. I didn't see this coming.
This actually makes sense, though, because I'm trying to offer the Packers quarterback some advice on his first
pitch. Well, that's awfully magnanimous of you. Sure. Go ahead.
I believe after checking the film, he went to the top of the mound. And this is the trick if you're throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. Nobody cares if you go to the plate, the pitcher's plate. Nobody cares if you're up on top of the mound. It is presumed by those who walk out that I'm going to the top of the mound. I'm throwing out a major league first pitch. If you throw at the bottom of the mound, you're on a level plane, and you're less likely to airmail one or send it way off and have your trajectory thrown off. So you go to the bottom of the mound to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, and then you throw it right a laser right down the pipe like we know Jordan Love is capable of. I saw some video from OTAs. Much better throws than he had on opening day.
Well, he wasn't throwing baseballs.
Yeah, well, but then he played in the charity softball game last Friday, and he's talking to Sophia Minert during the game while he's got a big tub of fries and hot dogs because it's Dollar Dog Day, which I love that our starting quarterback's eating fries and dogs sit in front row at the Brewers game on Memorial Day.
As opposed
awesome.
To chewing tree bark like
yeah, exactly.
Bradshaw says Rogers does.
But he's talking to Sophia on the FanDuel Wisconsin broadcast, and he says, yeah, I hit three home runs in the charity softball game. I've played baseball. That made the first pitch even worse. If he said, I've never played baseball, and like I'm not used to throwing a baseball, okay, that's better. Like, say you're better at something else, or like, I only played football. Like, don't tell me you're a good baseball player, and that you hit three home runs in the charity game on Friday night, and then you walk out, and you throw that first pitch like a lollipop. Awful.
So, I think, Riley, you've got this clip, right? He explained himself to us at the OTA practice on Wednesday. He did explain why the throw looked the way it did. Here is Jordan Love explaining his effort.
Man, first pitch, it was it made it there. It was a little bit of a lob pass. I threw it like a football. It was awesome being down there. Definitely need to get some more experience throwing a baseball. Get a little warm up next time and I'll be good, but next pitch will be better.
He's saying it's because he didn't warm. No one warms up. David Gruber's not warming up when he's throwing out a first pitch.
Now, he subsequently said that he quit playing baseball in middle school. But as you point out, he did have the charity softball game. Now, I don't care that he hit three home runs. How much throwing did he do in that game? I didn't go. I wasn't there. So I don't know which position he played. I can tell you this, and again, not comparing him to the previous quarterback, because Lord knows some things with the previous quarterback have taken some turns.
You already did that once this week, too.
And I did, yes, third year, Super Bowl or bust. But you know, Aaron Rodgers was a really good baseball player, right? I mean, he threw in the high 80s as a pitcher. He considered maybe pursuing that instead of football when he wasn't getting any football interest as a player. As a high school player. So I get it. Jordan didn't play baseball all the way through high school. I did think that maybe he was. Look, I just got to make sure it gets there. Because to me, let me turn into Jesse here. Given my extensive experience throwing out first pitches.
How did your Mallard's pitch go? Like, what was your mentality?
My mentality was, first of all, I did play catch beforehand because I didn't want to tear my labrum.
How old were you when you did this?
This was when we were doing. This was in my early days with Good Karma Brands. We were doing the show, the Dream Team.
Oh man!
It was our friend Rob Vogel,
Kennedy president.
Come on, I wasn't even alive when Kennedy was president.
Wow!
Now if you'd have gone Reagan. So it was probably like 04-ish.
Okay.
I think the Mallards were in their infancy. They had just come along. It was very early. So Rob and I went out there, the ombudsman and I, and I wanted to look mildly athletic. So I wanted to be able to throw with some velocity without trying to like go into the windup and like act like I'm Randy Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. So I threw a strike, and it was on a line. But again, what I didn't want to do, and what I think Jordan Love didn't want to do, was bounce it up there. And if you're trying to bring the heat, and you overextend, you could throw it in the dirt, and then you look like a jackwagon.
Yes, you don't want to do that. You for sure do not want to bounce it.
And that's, you definitely don't want to be like 50 Cent who like hit the back screen, but way off to the right.
He
almost killed a guy.
Yes. So I think if we're ranking worst case scenarios for first pitch, number one is you injure yourself. And Jordan Love suddenly missing OTAs because he tore a rotator cuff throwing the first. Like that would be absolute worst case scenario. Second worst would be the way that 50 Cent did it, where he throws way outside and it doesn't hit anybody and it goes rolling all the way to the wall. Third worst is bouncing it. Fourth worst is airmailing it the way that he did. So if he was going to mess up, he chose the best way to mess up. But you're the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. This isn't some fan from Section 202 who won the opportunity to go down and throw the ceremonial first pitch. You got to throw a better first pitch if you're Jordan Love. I don't care if you're nervous,
you
if you're not warmed up or anything.
What a critic. What a critic.
You got to throw a better first pitch. Caleb Williams threw a first pitch that looked just fine compared to what Jordan Love did. I don't know.
It is especially tough when Ben Johnson throws a nasty first pitch.
Yeah. He threw a slider.
And
broke.
It threw a strike, too. And he started on the mound, which I think is important, Jesse.
No, it's not important at all.
It is.
No one cares. Everyone in the world expects, if they're going to share on any social media platform, Jordan Love throwing the first pitch out at the game. Everyone in the world expects that thing's going to be a strike because he's a starting NFL quarterback and one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. Everyone expects it's going to be a strike. The only thing that could go viral is if something bad were to happen. So why push anything? Go to the bottom of the mound, just toss it in there casually, act like it looks like you've thrown a baseball before in your life, and you're fine. Nick in Boston just texted in on the Carbless Talk and text line. There's a little clip on one of the social media platforms, rather the Brewers or Packers, where Yelich is showing Jordan Love how to grip a baseball.
Well, yeah, he's probably not familiar with a four-seam grip versus
a two-seam
and a slider.
You don't need to throw a two-seam fastball when you're throwing to Yelich for the ceremonial first pitch. Just put it in the general vicinity of home plate and don't throw it up to section 309 when it's coming down.
Scared money don't make money.
Awful first pitch.
Jesse, your superiority over the Packers quarterback is showing.
To put a bow on this, since I'm in that
good one
to say that, yeah,
good one.
To put a bow on this, I asserted several years ago when the Brewers were in the playoffs that in Seattle for the Seahawks games, they have the 12th man come out and raise that flag up, and it's always a celebrity or a former player of some type, and it's always a big celebration. There are other sports teams who have celebrity individuals come out for some type of special ceremony for the start of a big game. I think the Brewers need to implement, instead of the ceremonial first pitch, which is done by everybody from the Brewers to the Mallards, I think they need to implement the ceremonial first slide down Bernie's slide. And you get
and then you
Jordan,
can rupture your Achilles,
sure,
stopping yourself as you hit the wall.
Into that
I
wall.
Went down Bernie's slide last year. Riley went down Bernie's slide. It's not that hard to not tear your Achilles
it's
going
fast,
down Bernie's
though.
Slide. Didn't someone
from L.A. break their leg? No, they broke their arm, slammed trying to brace
which
for
impact. Which doesn't make any sense, because if you're going to break anything, it's your leg. They gave us the advice, don't stick your leg out full extension.
It's true.
That's where injuries happen. I don't know how that dude broke his leg or his arm.
It flies.
But think about this. Game one, wild card series last year, Brewers-Mets. And here comes Ryan Braun out of Bernie's chalet before the top of the first inning. And he's waving the flag, and he's sliding down the slide, and the crowd goes nuts. And it energizes everybody more than Bernie, more than the fireworks, more than any ceremonial first pitch. That's special for the Brewers. They got to implement that.
Just because you're sitting in Tausch's seat doesn't require you to try and improve everything like he does. Going down a slide, there's the awkwardness then of scrambling back to your feet to get the reaction from the crowd at the bottom of this. No, this is a terrible idea.
You wave the flag first up top, and then
look awkward, including you, by the way, once you get to the bottom. It's not like you pop up slide like you go into second base and you're showing off with a double and you pop up, which used to be fun, by the way, when I was more athletic. That was always
nice.
Pretty
good.
True.
Yeah. So, no. Get out of here.
Thank you to everyone who is saying who the hell calls the rubber the pitcher's plate.
It's a
Jesse.
There. Great statement.
Josh DiMaggio. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not the pitcher's plate. It was the rubber. I had a little brain fart. I'm sorry. That doesn't take away my point.
I'm still trying. If I may, before we bow this.
I already said we put a bow on it.
What? Yeah, you're not in charge.
No, I know you think you are. No, I am not.
What were the circumstances? And what level of, and I'm not here to besmirch ESPN Peoria in any way.
I knew this was coming. Yeah.
Why the hell Were you throwing out a first pitch to begin with?
So at our radio station complex in Peoria, there was a Kiss FM station, a ESPN Peoria station, a couple other music stations, and it was Kiss FM night at the ballpark. So we had a big promotional thing out front and T-shirts and little baseballs with the logo on it being given away. Every Thursday in the summer was the Kiss FM night. It was like dollar beer night, too. And so you get your Coors Lights for a buck. Everybody was enjoying it. And then always a great crowd. And then someone from our station would throw out the first pitch each time. So I was the one chosen for one of the Thursday nights. So we all kind of took a turn throughout that summer. Yeah.
Pretty low. Announcement. Talk about a low bar.
I didn't have my own show. I didn't produce anything. I did like one thing a week. And they're like, here from ESPN Peoria, it's Jesse Nelson. I'm like, yeah, hey, everybody. And they're like, yeah. Threw a good pitch, though. Right down the pipe.
I'm sure you did. And the umpire called it a ball. All right, we need to play some trivia, and then we need to give away another Vortex Golf rangefinder when we do the drawing after that. Jesse, what is today's category, and which caller would you like to have Riley answer?
The UW Athletic Hall of Fame Class of 2025. Today's trivia category. We've already heard from a few of the members of that class. They have not been inducted yet, but they are members of the Hall of Fame class of 2025 to be inducted later this year. There are 12 of them.
Two more announcements coming up between now and September.
So I think it's appropriate that caller 12, either for the number of members in the class or the number of times Matt LaPay will get a celebration for his induction into the class, caller 12. For the Willie and Tausch trivia, chance with a Vortex Golf swag bag seems appropriate.
All right, caller 12 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Operators are standing by. That operator, of course, is Riley Yauch. Caller 12 right now plays trivia next. It's Willie and Tausch. Apparently, Jesse was so busy being late to University Ridge that he still hasn't fixed Big Voice Guy.
Yeah.
So, I'm here to tell you, it's time for trivia. Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Bravo. Well done, Big Voice Jason. Good job. Riley's. I hear Riley's good at voices. We should have had him do it.
Yeah, he does. He is good. Not as good as you, although then nobody's heard your David Bakhtiari and then the fact that you forced me to do Terry Bradshaw. Let's welcome in our contestant, and it is, Big Voice Jason would say, first-time contestants. It is John and McFarland. John, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm just ducky.
Ducky, I like that.
You ever thrown out a ceremonial first pitch, John?
Jeez, because apparently they'll let anybody do it.
I have not.
That's too bad.
Oh, Jesse with a flex. John, I'm always curious about first-time contestants. Are you a recent listener to the show? Have you tried to play trivia previously and just never been the caller? What is your journey to this great opportunity?
Well, I was driving downtown, and it's the first chance I've actually had to participate, so we'll give it a go.
All right, well, let's give it a run, because you do have the opportunity to win the Vortex Golf rangefinder and a swag bag from them. So, The category, which Jesse worked very hard on, the UW Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2025. Jesse will be playing the role of Tausch and handling question two. Question one from me is this. Which of these athletes being inducted into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2025 twice medaled as a member of the Team USA women's hockey team, winning bronze at the 2006 Olympics in Italy and silver at the 2010 Games in Vancouver? Was it Molly Engstrom, Kara Walls, or Matt LePowerPay?
I was proud of that one.
We'll go with B, Walls.
I'm afraid not. Molly Engstrom.
Well,
I got to be honest, Jesse, I don't want to disrespect in any way the greatness of Badger women's hockey. But it is a sport where a lot of people don't know a lot of the players.
Understood. It was still a 50-50 chance because I wanted to get Matt LePowerPay in there.
So basically this was all for you to use a pun.
Yeah, I wanted to go Matt LePowerPay. I really wanted to do that. And it gave John a 50-50 chance, but that's okay. He can bounce back. I think he's got a good chance at the next two.
Well, that's magnanimous of you. Read question two there, Mr. Difficult Question
number one. Question two, John. Let's get you on the board here. Joe Pavelski played for just two NHL franchises over his 18-year professional career. Which of these is not one of the two NHL teams Pavelski played for? The Colorado Avalanche, the Dallas Stars, or the San Jose Sharks? Which team did Joe Pavelski not play for in his career?
The San Jose Sharks.
Jesse, how's this going for you?
Joe Pavelski played the first 13 seasons of his professional hockey career with the San Jose Sharks before finishing the final five seasons with the Dallas Stars. The correct answer, the
lovely
Colorado Avalanche.
John, man,
it's a tough draw for John.
Hope you'll play again someday.
I've never claimed to be a hockey fan, so.
No, and now you've had... Some might say that in a 12-person class, having two of the three questions be about hockey players, own it.
In fairness to me, I figured we would have Frank Kaminsky on the show today. I thought LePay might stop by. I thought me might be a little more engaged with some of the other
James
members.
James White.
Yeah. I mean, but what are you going to ask about James White? Like, who should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl that Brady won?
Who was the opponent in that game? I mean, come on. This is
how many touchdowns did he score?
Get this. Just a second.
Okay.
Now, question three.
This is a good question.
This is horrible.
This doesn't get any easier for John, but this is a great question.
You said he had a good chance of getting the next two.
Well, that was before he got the second one wrong.
How's he gonna get this?
Chances go up exponentially if he gets question two right.
John, I'll be honest. You've got a 33.333333333% chance of getting this right because I don't even know the answer. I only know it because it's bolded here.
This is a tough one.
What a jackwagon you are.
It's a good nugget, though. It's a real good nugget.
It's not even about Travis Frederick.
It's kind of.
Wisconsin's... unbelievable. Wisconsin's Travis Frederick was selected with the 31st overall pick in the first round of the 2013 NFL draft.
Well, the first draft ever on a Thursday night, if I recall.
Wow.
Which of these players was the only quarterback selected in the first round of the 23 NFL draft? What the hell does that have to do with Travis Frederick's career?
Because you get to say Travis Frederick, soon to be inducted into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2025, there was only one quarterback selected in the first round.
Go out to the pitcher's plate and just own the fact that these questions suck, and you owe John an apology.
I bet John's not going to get this right.
Now trying reverse psychology as well.
Yeah.
The reverse jinx. All right, which of these gentlemen was the only quarterback selected in the first round of the 2013 NFL draft? Was it Geno Smith, E.J. Manuel, or Mike Glennon?
Let's go with E.J. Manuel.
Only by the act of God and luck. Because, John, you did not know that.
No, he did.
Oh, of course I did.
Hey, yes. And for those scoring at home, members of Bill's Mafia, that's a J.P. Lossman and an E.J. Manuel reference on today's show. How about that?
Yes, Ballinger. And E.J. Manuel finished his career with the San Jose Sharks. John, you got one right. That means you got two entries into the drawing. I wish you luck because this argument about reseeding the playoffs based on record in the NFL and eliminating the division stuff, you did not get the Packers' cake schedule of getting to play the AFC South and a beaten-up NFC West on these three questions.
Tough
so good job.
John.
I hope you'll play again. Thanks, buddy.
I'll keep my fingers crossed. Thank you, guys.
The good news for John is the people who have had the lowest amount of poker chips in the cheese fry helmet have gone on to win the drawing the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, so. And good news for John, you're not pulling the winner, are you?
I'm not. Riley's in charge of that today, which I think Riley just found out.
From the private talk and text line.
Oh, no.
I don't know if this person wants to be on the record or off the record. Terrible questions.
Yeah.
I propose a one-week trivia ban for Jesse.
Mm.
Here's the problem with that,
uh-huh.
Anonymous source. Jesse's going to eat up the opportunity to not have to do as much work.
Then you're going to get Gerald Ford every day, and how are you going to like that?
Bring back UFC trivia.
By the way,
See how that goes.
I think John should have known that Joe Pavelski played for the San Jose Sharks.
I know Joe Pavelski was a great player. I knew he played for the Sharks. I didn't know if Dallas Stars or Colorado Avalanche was right.
Yeah, but he guessed the Sharks.
Okay, but again, hockey, not something that everybody watches. I don't watch a lot of it till the playoffs start. All right, that is trivia.
Pavelski was in the playoffs every year.
Thank you. we all know that you know. You wrote the questions.
I'm done.
I don't know if it's Woe Nelly or Woe Riley. Surprise me. Next, it's Will the Attouch. Before we get to Woden Riley, we need to pull this week's winner of the Vortex Golf Rangefinder and Swag Bag. I also need to know who I need to talk to over there. I'm willing to pay for it because I'm not eligible for the contest, but I've now been asked by both of the golfers in my family, can we get a rangefinder? Yeah, we'll see what we can do. But someone's going to get one for free for winning trivia, and Riley Yauch is going to decide who that person is by pulling from the cheese fry helmet the winner.
And that person is Mike in Franklin.
Yeah, Mike. Nice win, Mike.
Hey, congratulations to Mike.
Mike was the one who said he's played a bunch, but he's never won. How about that? Big week for Mike. That's
a big it's nice
win.
Of you to help his chances by giving John and McFarland such crappy questions. So good job. Wow. Speaking of crappy, time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Will the and Tausch.
Jesse, I feel like you can start us off.
Oh, I like the cooperation. That's nice.
No, thanks, Riley. I was going to yield to you to go first.
No, I think your topic's more interesting to start.
I have a pretty good topic today.
Yeah, I heard you had good questions, too.
This is actually – so I have an opportunity potentially to do something for the first time in my life on Monday. I have received a summons to be a juror.
Oh, boy.
You think I'd be good at it, Jason? I think I would be a great juror.
I think you'll be the foreman.
I'd love to, you know, stand and do the reading in the court here. I don't even know how all that stuff works. I think I'm just disconnected enough from everything where I think I'd be unbiased on a lot of things. At first, when I submit everything, I'm like, there's probably no chance I even get called for this. But then I thought about, you know, I would actually love to do this at some point next week. So I'm actually hoping to get out of work for a few days. I would take some trivia off to go be a juror and do my civic duty for this great nation.
When do you find out what the case is? How does that work?
Yeah, when you don't even know if you'll be called, right?
So, I mean, I'm sure many other people, including, I think Ben Bruss did this. Was it a year ago, earlier this year? I forgot when he did it. But if Bruss was a juror, there's no doubt I could be a juror. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. So you find out, like, after 4 o'clock today, you're divided into these different categories of, like, your numbered category. And then after 4 o'clock, they say, we're drawing this number. You report on Monday at whatever time. And then you go in, and then they do the more further vetting process, and they narrow it down eventually to the, I think it's 12 that end up being on the jury for whatever the case is. And then you start to find out everything. So I don't know much about it. Unlikely that I probably end up doing it, but I'm excited about the opportunity to have my name in the ring to be a juror next week in Dane County. Very exciting. Riley, would I be a good juror?
I think you'd be a good juror. I just feel that the system, I'm pretty sure I took a law class at UW-Madison, and I'm pretty sure they intentionally don't have people who are in the public eye be jurors.
I can actually speak to this.
Oh, okay. Jason,
because I tried
away.
To use that to get out of it.
Uh-oh.
Now, knock on wood, I was not called. So every night before, they notify you if you have to report or not. And enough cases apparently were plea bargained, so I didn't have to go in. No. But that was one of the concerns. And look, I am not like Tausch level of famous by any means, so please don't misconstrue this. But there are times when people recognize me. Out and about.
Wow, I get recognized all the time.
I'm sure you do. You're that guy from ESPN
Center,
Peoria,
Dairy
who threw out
Queen.
The first pitch.
Yeah, they know me everywhere around
their
town.
Afternoon hosts were more deserving. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I've seen too many Law & Order episodes, but I don't want to be the juror who, like, is the one recognizable face in the box, and we convict a guy of murder, one of his, you know, cronies comes and gets, you know, takes me out. So
get whacked.
I don't want to be whacked, Jerry.
Well, good news for me. Jim in the YouTube comments when we were doing our first pitch discussion said, this guy's a clown, clearly not familiar with my work. So I must not be famous enough, which means I probably am still eligible to be a member of the jury.
Well, Nick and Wanaki just texted in, the first juror I get rid of is a person who wants to be a juror.
What does Nick and Wanaki know?
Is he a judge?
He's a judge. Judge Nick.
No way, judges.
Yeah,
Nick,
who decides
Nick, no
the
way.
Jury? Is it a third party? Or is it like the court system as a whole? Or is it the judge? Does the judge decide his own jury?
No. If I know anything from Law & Order or the other court shows, is he, like the lawyers, basically, they do this entire like interview process to figure out who it should be, right? It's not the judge. They say, we dismiss juror number 13.
It's voir dire is what it's called, where they say, okay, I object to that idiot with the new haircut wearing his glasses so he looks more intelligent from the radio program.
Oh, I'm sure for sure bring out the wide brims.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Okay, my topic, a little less serious, I guess you could say. So I played slow pitch softball for the first time this season last night. Tausch is out golfing right now. And I want to ask you guys, what's the best day drinking sport? I'm firmly of the belief that slow pitch softball is the best day drinking sport. I absolutely love cracking open a Coors Light while sitting on the bench waiting for my turn to hit. But I know a lot of people think golf is the best day drinking sport because they literally have a cart girl drive around selling you beverages. So what say you, Jason?
You're uniquely qualified to address this.
Yeah. For me, anytime's a good time to drink a bubbler drink.
Yep.
Although maybe for some, a little bit later in the day is a bad idea. You want to drink them day drinking because they got a lot of caffeine in them. You don't want to drink them late at night. So, look, I remember playing slow pitch softball. That was always fun, right? Always fun until somebody blows out a hammy. Trying to leg out a triple when they shouldn't be. And then Jesse's over there making the call at third base that he's out. Jesse, you're going to have to take this one. This is not my area of expertise.
Always tough when you have the one person wearing basketball shorts who wants to slide into second on a close play. There's always one of those.
No, someone yesterday was wearing baseball pants and tried to break up a double play with two outs in the inning.
The worst.
Hard slide. The other team's up 11 runs on us already. And he's hard sliding trying to break up a non-existent double play. That was
frustrating.
Taking
out Jim Gantner.
Yeah.
Bowling is the correct answer. When I threw my 300 game.
In the nine-pin tap tournament last year,
I threw my 300 game. I was definitely a few Coors Lights in for the celebration of that one up wherever we were. I forgot. Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, somewhere up there. Golf. I think golf is probably number two because golf, it's just so naturally part of it. Like, I would rather enjoy a beverage with the team after playing softball than during the game. I would rather go out afterwards and say, okay, we're done. Good game, everybody. Well, victory beer's on me. Let's head over wherever we're going. As opposed to golf, bowling, those sports. Like, that, you're more enjoying the Coors Light casually while you're invested in participating in the sport. So that's where I would place my selection there.
All right, we need to end it there so we have time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints.
Hey, I threw out a first pitch too, Jesse.
You did?
I did. For a snappers game back in the day, I was 10. Threw a strike right down the middle.
The Beloit Snappers.
Wow.
Now the Sky Carp.
Now the Sky Carp, ABC Supply
Stadium. Maybe we could do the Sky Carp, too, if we play our cards.
Yeah, Diane Hendricks.
Make the rounds.
That's a nice doubleheader.
Hit them back-to-back nights.
All right, we'll wrap things up with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints next. It's Wildea Tausch.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the weight, trying to live up to the say I am. Is it any wonder shame comes calling my first name? Is there any question if I'm the one?
We wrap up the week and wrap up the show late as usual with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Look, man, if we're going to do like 18 announcements of the Hall of Fame class for the UW Athletic Department, then damn it, we're going to celebrate Matt LePay as Feel Good Friday again. And we'll do it again in September. And we'll probably do it again sometime between now and September. Our friend, the voice of the Badgers, is going into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. There are other greats. Frank Kaminsky, James White, Travis Frederick, everybody else. But our guy is Matt LePay, and Jesse adopted him as his second father. That is not as big of an honor as this is, and he could not be more deserving. We love him. Matt LePay, congratulations again on your Hall of Fame induction, which hasn't happened yet.
If he gets 18 ceremonies, he deserves every one of them. There is nobody nicer and kinder to the broadcasting community and the community of Wisconsin athletics than Matt LePay.
Including to you, even though I don't know why. All right, that's it for us today. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.